Good morning, church. It is an honor to be able to preach for you today. I'm going to get right into my topic. It's the compassion of Jesus. And we're going to be looking at the compassion of Jesus through the lens of the Good Samaritan, the parable of the Good Samaritan. Compassion, what a fantastic word. And it's based on a Greek word. The Greek word is splanknezomai. Yes, splanknezomai. That first syllable, splank, has six consonants and one vowel. And it's actually based on another word, splanka, which means the intestines or your gut. Because the ancient Greeks had this belief that love and compassion and the center of the emotion, it's not the heart, it's the gut. Compassion, love, it's not the brain, it's the gut. Now put that on a Valentine's Day card and send it to the person you love. It wouldn't play very well today, but back then it played really well. And that's the idea of splanknezomai. We are moved inside to help someone. And you get the sense when you think about that idea of, yeah, that's true. When you really, really feel compassion for someone, you're moved inside. In a sense, you're moved in your gut to want to help. Splanknezomai. Which brings me to the English word. Another beautiful word. One of my favorite words in the English language. Compassion. Literally means to suffer with. The word passion means suffer. Like the passion of Jesus was his week of suffering and his time on the cross. Compassion means to suffer with. When we have compassion for someone, we suffer with them. Now, if you've ever had someone that you love and you've seen them go through pain, then you understand what it means to suffer with someone, to have compassion for someone. And this English concept really rings true, this concept in the English word. When Lee and I were, when we celebrated our first wedding anniversary, we've been married 39 years, but when we celebrated our first wedding anniversary, we celebrated it in the hospital together because Lee had appendicitis and she had to rush her into the hospital and she had to have emergency surgery for her appendix to be taken out. And I'd never seen Lee in so much pain. And you know, Lee endures pain much better than I do. I'm a baby. She can really endure pain. And so I was watching her suffer with this. But the thing was, even as much as I don't like pain, I looked at her suffering and I thought, give me that pain. Let me have that pain. I would rather take it on myself than to see you going through that. I would rather go through surgery than to see you go through surgery. I wish I had been like Spock with the Vulcan mind meld and could just say, my mind to your mind, my thoughts to your thoughts, and just get inside and pull the pain out. Pull it into me. That's compassion. Suffering with someone. Literally, you want to take the pain away from them. And that happens when we love someone, and that actually happens very naturally, like with your kids. When you see your children in pain, you want to experience that pain and take that pain away from them. But it doesn't happen as naturally with people that are strangers, that with people that we don't know, with people that are different from us. So Jesus teaches us to have compassion for everyone, people that are like us and people that are unlike us. And you see this in the ministry of Jesus. Matthew 9, verse 36. But when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. Splanknezomai. He was moved with compassion, and it says, because they fainted, and they were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. Jesus had compassion, not just on people like him, but on everyone, the whole multitude, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. You look a little later in Matthew 14, verse 14. Jesus went forth and he saw a great multitude and he was moved with compassion toward them. Splanknezomai. He was moved inside to do something, moved inside suffering with them to do something. So it says, and he healed their sick. And that's what compassion is. It moves you to do something. So Jesus lived it out in his life. The ultimate picture of this is the cross, of course. But he also taught about it. And one of his greatest lessons is the story of the Good Samaritan. We all know this story. But what's the one word that sets the Good Samaritan apart from the priest and the Levite? Compassion. That's the word. Let's look at this story. In Luke chapter 10, verse 25, and behold, a certain lawyer rose up to test Jesus. He was testing him. Another word is tempt. He was trying to trap him. And he said this, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? I'm sure that trapped a lot of people. But Jesus didn't really fall for it. He didn't answer him. He just asked another question. He said, what's written in the law? How do you read it? And that's brilliant, to answer a question with a question. Just put it back on the person. And Jesus does this, and so the lawyer answers, love the Lord your God with the whole of your heart, with the whole of your life essence, with the whole of your strength, and the whole of your intellect, and your neighbor as yourself. He said to him, you answer correctly, do this, and you will live. But the man, wishing to vindicate himself, he hadn't trapped Jesus yet. His test hadn't really caught anything. And so he asked him another question that trapped a lot of people. Who is my neighbor? You know, and you can get a sense that his first answer was setting up this question, because lawyers do that. They're really good at that. Okay, so here's the argument. I'm going to work it around to talk about neighbor, and let me see who he says neighbors are, because that traps a lot of people. And so he said, who is my neighbor? Replying to him, Jesus said, and then there's this great story of the Good Samaritan. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves. They stripped him, inflicted him with many blows, and departed, leaving him half dead. By chance, a certain priest was going down that road. Seeing the man, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite came by the place. Seeing the man, he passed by on the other side. A certain Samaritan who was traveling came by. Seeing the man, he passed, what? No, that's not what happens. But that's what people are waiting for. Well, the priest passed by. The Levite passed by. Surely the Samaritan's going to pass on by. He sees the man and what? He felt compassion. That word is the difference. He felt compassion. He approached the man, bandaged his wounds, and poured olive oil and wine on them. He placed the man on his donkey. He brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he got out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him. Whatever you spend, when I return, I will repay you. Which of these three, and Jesus closes out after the parable by asking another question. He never answers directly, who is my neighbor? He tells this great story and then poses another question for the lawyer. He says, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? The lawyer said, the one who showed mercy to him. Jesus said, go and do likewise. The lawyer asked, who is my neighbor? In order to trap Jesus. And Jesus answers with this amazing parable. And the parable has 4 people in it. And what parables do, they invite you to come inside and just live there a little while. It's like a house where you go in and you just think about this for a while and you let it become a part of who you are. And in this case, there's 4 characters. So you put yourself in each of the characters and you think about it. And the first person is the injured man. And it's good for us to put ourselves in the place of the injured man, because it's good for us to take a moment and just picture what it's like to be hurting and what it's like to feel like people are passing you by. And especially if you don't feel that, if that's not the world that you live in, it's good for you to put yourself in that world. And what would you feel like if you're the injured person And there goes a religious person just walking on by. There goes another religious person walking on by. And then here comes the Samaritan. And you think, oh, he's going to walk by too. But he stops. And he takes care of you. And he helps you. But when we look at the world around us, do we put ourselves in the place of people that are hurting? Do we put ourselves in the place of people that are the disinherited of the world, the poor, the suffering? Do we put ourselves in their place? And this, by doing this, we learn to think about where they are and where they're living and what's going on in their life. And we learn compassion by doing that. So spend some time just thinking about being this person that's been beat up, left for dead on the side of the road, the injured person. And then you enter the priest and the Levite. Now, the priest and the Levite are both religious leaders, religious people. It's estimated by scholars that about half of the priest lived in Jericho. So this priest had very likely been up to Jerusalem. I say up because Jerusalem literally was uphill, 2,500 feet above sea level. And then Jericho's in a valley, the Jordan Valley. It's the lowest point on earth. And so it's a huge steep descent into Jericho. But the priest had been probably up in the temple worshiping or maybe even leading in worship there. But he comes by this injured man. He sees him, but he walks around. Same with the Levite. Sees him, but he walks around. And they might have justified their actions. And so put yourself in their place. And if you're putting yourself in their place, one of the things they might have thought was, well, you know what? If I go help this person, what if this person is dead? If this person is dead and I touch them, I become unclean. So I better watch out for me right now instead of this person. Or if there's blood there and I touch blood, again, I become unclean. And it was a very costly ceremony for to go through this ritual cleansing, and it took a lot of time. And so just by helping out, this is really going to set my schedule back by doing this. The priest and the Levite were thinking more about themselves, and they didn't think about the law of love. And the law of love, which said that this law overrides any other law. Jesus even refers to it. If your donkey falls in a ditch, don't you help that donkey out? Well, of course you do. Shouldn't you do the same with a person? But they weren't thinking that way. That's not where their mind was. And another thing they might have been thinking, and I quote this from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., because when he taught about the story of the parable of the Good Samaritan, he had such good things to say. One of the things that he said was this, and I quote, "But I'm going to tell you what my imagination tells me." He's putting himself in the place of the priest and the Levite and thinking about them. "It's possible that these men were afraid. You see, the Jericho road is a dangerous road. In the day of Jesus, it came to be known as the Bloody Pass. And you know, it's possible that the priest and the Levite looked over at that man on the ground and wondered if robbers were still around. Or it's possible that they felt that the man on the ground was merely faking, and he was acting like he had been robbed and hurt in order to seize them over there, lure them there for quick and easy seizure. And so the first question that the Levite asked was, if I stop to help this man, what will happen to me? But then the Good Samaritan came by and he reversed the question. If I do not stop to help this man, what will happen to him?" And I love that. I love the way Dr. King flips that question around, the same way that Jesus did at the end of the parable. And it's not about what's going to happen to me. It's what's going to happen to the other person if I do not help. What will happen if I do not stop to help? That's the question of compassion. That's splanknizomai, feeling the hurt of other people, suffering with other people, seeing them where they are and responding to their needs. That's the question of mercy, of hesed. That's the question of justice. That's the question of love for neighbor. That's the question we ought to be asking. What's going to happen to the other person if I do not stop to help? Dr. King concludes this by saying, let us develop a kind of dangerous unselfishness. I love that. Compassion is dangerous unselfishness. Putting yourself out for the needs of the other person. That's compassion. That's splenk nidzomai. Now, what about the Good Samaritan? The Good Samaritan, the Samaritans in general were hated by the Jews, despised by the Jews. They were looked upon as ethnically impure. They were looked upon as theologically wrong. And so they weren't really accepted into the Judean Jewish community. So they lived by themselves in Samaria. And yet in this story, it's the Samaritan that comes down and he is neighborly. He's the one that helps out. And so when you see the Samaritan, he sees the person, and the difference between him and the priest and the Levite, they see and they go around. He sees and steps up. He sees and he steps up because he felt compassion. He suffered with the injured person. Because he suffered with the injured person, he did something. Kyle Snodgrass, scholar on the parable, said, all three travelers see the man, but for the priest and the Levite, seeing is the impetus for caution and self-protection, while for the Samaritan, seeing is the source of compassion, which motivates his helping. To love our neighbor, it's not good enough just to see, but we have to feel compassion. Be moved inside to suffer with, to do something. And in this case, after we, you know, Jesus closes this by saying, go and do likewise. Show mercy. The real question in the story of the Good Samaritan is not, who is my neighbor? And the problem is that when we start thinking that, we act like we have a choice of who our neighbor is. That's the wrong question. That question implies prejudice. It implies bias. Who is my neighbor? The right question is, how can I be neighborly? How can I love all people? How can I feel compassion for everyone? That's the right question. And that's the question that Jesus asks. You know, that's the question that Jesus poses on all of us. And he says, go be neighborly. Go do likewise. Howard Thurman, in his awesome book, Jesus and the Disinherited, said, speaking of the Good Samaritan, with sure artistry and great power, he, Jesus, depicted what happens when a man responds directly to human needs across the barriers of class, race, and condition. Every man is potentially every other man's neighbor. Neighborliness is not spatial. It is qualitative. A man must love his neighbor directly, clearly permitting no barriers between. That's beautiful. And of course, Dr. King reminds us that we need to be dangerously unselfish. I don't know about you, but for me, selfishness is something that I struggle with. Even this week, I had a day in which I was just feeling a bit inward, a bit selfish, a bit looking at the things going on around me, feeling some stress, feeling some pressure, and I was just turning it inward. And I'm teaching this class called Jesus and Spiritual Formation. I'm teaching it to a group of people around the world. It's a master's level class. And my students are awesome. I got 20 students in the class. And they constantly challenge me with their stories and their life, because I get this global perspective when I am in the classroom with them, in this online classroom with them. And I started hearing some of their stories, and they were heartbreaking, really. Edwin, who lives in Nairobi, Kenya, and he lives in a very, very rough neighborhood that's known for carjackings. And sure enough, he had his car basically he was taken out of the car. The carjacking happened. He gave up the car. He gave up the keys. He did everything right, everything he should have done, and he still was shot. And so took him to the hospital. He was in the hospital for several days, but he still has that trauma that he lives with. Every time he drives home, every time he goes home, there's that trauma. And he suffers through it. And as I was thinking about Edwin, it made me realize, I need to be thinking about other people. Danilo lives in Cebu City in the Philippines. And when the coronavirus started raging there, they just didn't say, okay, everybody quarantine. They called in the military. So it's literally a military lockdown in Cebu City. The soldiers are just everywhere. And his neighbor, whom he studied the Bible with, and this family became disciples, the husband and the father came down with the coronavirus and was taken to the hospital. And so what does Danilo do? He sneaks out of his apartment every day, goes around the security and around the soldiers, and takes food to this family every day. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, Steve, you don't need to be thinking about yourself. Bernahu, he lives in Ethiopia, and he actually called the school saying, you know, I won't be able to turn in my homework. And tell Dr. Kennard that the government is going to shut down the internet and we don't know when they're going to turn it back on. I'll hand in my homework when the internet comes back on. And this is just life in the world around us, but we so often forget. And the Good Samaritan, what it does, it causes us to look outside of ourselves, to see the needs of people around us, and then to be moved with compassion, splanknidzomai, in order to feel the hurt and the pain and suffer with other people to help meet others' needs. And I want to encourage us to do that this week. Jesus closes this with, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. Show mercy. Show hesed. Be compassionate. Splanknidzomai. Be neighborly. Be dangerously unselfish. Go and do likewise. And of course, we see this when Jesus died on the cross, the ultimate example of what it means to be compassionate and to suffer with. He died for our sins. Right now, we'll take the communion. And this bread represents his body. This fruit of the vine represents his blood. Let's think about Jesus and the compassion that he had, was willing to go to the cross for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. I pray that you will bless this message. I pray that you will help us to think about what Jesus did when he went to the cross for us. How this bread represents his body, this fruit of the vine represents his blood. And Father, as we think about the compassion of Jesus, help us to go and do likewise. In Jesus' name, amen.